It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Having a good time here today. Get a couple hours with you. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Recker Radio. If you want to look up Mark Reardon on the Facebook page, look up 97.1 FM Talk. Make sure to give a like to that as well. I wanted to throw down something to you real quick. And I thought I was being a romantic because I had an anniversary recently, my wife and I, and I thought I would surprise her. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the day off of work and I'm not going to tell her about it. And then I'm going to say, well, honey, I'm not going in today. I'm going to take you out for lunch on our anniversary day. And I thought I would be so cute doing that. And it worked out pretty well. I let my wife pick where we went to lunch. She first said I wanted a steak from Texas Roadhouse. Then Texas Roadhouse wasn't open for lunch, so she said, okay, I'll do Hibachi Grill.
Ooh, so yeah.
So we went to Benihana, I think. So We went there, and we sat down, and this is where I made the big mistake. I sat down, and the workers there and started to do its thing, and I said, you know, you don't really have to impress us. It's lunchtime, so it's just us at this big table. And I said, you don't have to do the whole show for us. That's okay. Sue, it was a huge mistake. We sat there in silence watching him cook for us. It was so awkward because the guy was terrible. At this point, it was watching him go through the motions of cooking food, and there was no show to it, no entertainment to it. It just felt so weird watching him. I made a huge mistake, Sue.
That you really did. You know what? I can see how that would happen. Right? You're trying to be nice to the guy, but that's kind of the whole thing with the Hibachi Grill.
I'm amazed that he was able to not say anything about what he was doing.
He didn't flip the shrimp up there on the old knife point. I swear I'm 12. I like really nice food, and I also like Hibachi Grills. I like it all.
And, you know, he's flipping the knife around. He's doing this, and he's like chop, 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 making the noises on there. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. You don't have to do that for us. We're just here for lunch. It's our anniversary. He's like, oh, okay. We don't have to do that. Okay. And then he works in silence for the next 15, 20 minutes.
What's your wife say, Ryan? Was she like, okay?
We're looking at each other, and we're kind of like talking, but at the same time, we understand he's hearing everything we're saying.
Yes, it's so weird. And if he's doing stuff, he's not listening to you as much. The whole thing is, oh my gosh, I'm starting to sweat thinking about it for you.
We didn't get the volcano onions. We didn't get throwing stuff in the air. You know, every once in a while, I would say things like, huh, that looks like you're using a lot of butter. we use butter,
Desperation. Comments by our own Ryan Recker.
So there's a lesson to be learned here, right, Ryan?
The lesson is let them do their job.
That's right.
Yes. That's hilarious.
All right, let's do Sue's news.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's news. Brought to you by Sue.
But happy anniversary. We should say that to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Congratulations. All right. In Sue's news today, we have quite the mix. And I forgot Ryan was in, but now I'm happy because I have a couple of things that will be perfect for you. Ryan, all right. You guys, 39 years ago today. Now, that would be in 1985. I've got music for this, Tyler. It's a little bit. Just giving you a heads up. And we don't need it yet. I'll give you the high sign. In 1985, a U.S. Senate committee heard testimony on the labeling and rating of music with explicit lyrics. Remember this? It was initiated by Parents Music Resource Center, led by Tipper Gore.
That's right.
And they called themselves the PMRC. And they made a list of the most objectionable songs. Okay, they called it their Filthy 15. And this included things like Prince's Darling Nikki, which, Sheena Easton, Sugar Walls, and this song by and a song we would have played here by Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It. We're not going to take it by Twisted Sister was one of the Filthy 15.
Wow.
I know. It's not even that bad.
It's not that bad.
I got a good story about that song, if you'd like.
I'm ready.
So I did a promotional thing with Dee Snider from Twisted Sister once. We did a charity motorcycle bike ride for March of Dimes, Bikers for Babies. And I spent 2 days with Dee Snider.
Oh,
and I asked him about
gosh.
This panel. It was so cool. And I asked him about this panel. And I'm like, how cool was it that you testified next to Frank Zappa? And all it like, and I think John Denver was part of it, too. He's in front of Congress. And I said, what was that like? And, you know, he kind of talked about it. But the one thing I remember him saying is, in today, I'm still married to my wife. Al Gore is not. Or Ooh. It was a Tipper Gore that was doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the time,
yeah, yeah.
He's like, well, I'm still married. They're not. What does that tell you about this panel?
Something. Something big.
Because they didn't go to hibachi.
Right.
That's right. No, they didn't.
And sat in silence with the guy making stuff. Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Can you guys imagine Men in Black with David Schwimmer instead of Will Smith? Because it almost happened. David was offered the part first, but he turned it down because he only had a short break from Friends, and he had already committed to directing his own movie. And I had never heard this story. Have you?
No.
How many times have you seen Men in Black? I watch it when it's on.
That's one of those that when you're flipping around and it's on, I'll leave it on. Yeah.
Ryan?
Will Smith was so good in that role. How could Schwimmer be? No, I don't know. Did they fact check him? Is that true?
Well, yeah. Here's what happened. The movie was a he was going to direct a movie, and the movie was a high school reunion comedy called Since You've Been Gone, and it was supposed to be a theatrical film, but it ended up premiering on ABC in 1998. Wah wah. Oh. And David says it was a brutal decision, but he adds that he had convinced a bunch of friends and associates to do the movies, and he felt like, man, if I back out of this, it's going to look really bad, and those friendships will probably have ended. So he said, you have to follow your gut, and unfortunately, it took me in that trajectory.
It was a gut punch.
It was. I mean, that could have changed his whole movie career, because he didn't really have much of one.
I don't know. I tend to think that even if he took that role, that the movie wouldn't be as good, so it wouldn't have changed his career that much. But honestly, he makes so much money from those Friends residuals.
True.
He's got nothing to complain about.
Well, that's true, too. Witness the power of Oprah. Okay, an Oscar award-winning filmmaker named Kevin MacDonald directed a documentary about Oprah, and he put it together for Apple TV Plus. And even though he teamed up with her longtime producer on it, Oprah decided she did not like that final product. So they argue about it. She wants changes. He refused to make them. So what did she do? If you're Oprah, you just buy it back from Apple.
Oh.
Can you imagine how many millions? So she just bought it back.
And then she just gave everybody a car.
And said, and said, nope, we're not going to air that. And a rep for Oprah diplomatically says, quote, Ms. Winfrey believes the filmmakers are incredibly talented and is grateful for the time and energy they put into the product. But wah, wah, we're buying it. You can't air it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's expensive whiteout, isn't it? Basically.
Yes. That's exactly what that is. I found this interesting. Somebody talked to the CEO of a hiring platform who's interviewed thousands of people in her career, and she's seeing a new trend recently. Her top advice for people who want to land a job is, can you at least Google what the company does before you show up for your interview? She said people have been showing up less prepared than ever. And apparently that's a bold statement. And we have the interwebs, people. You can Google. I mean, back in the day, the rest of us were panicked and asking our friends, what does blah, blah do? But she says even a lot of folks interviewing for senior level positions need to hear this now because they don't know.
Wow.
So if
let me ask you this, Fred. Like back in the day, we're talking about a very serious Robert Hyland.
That's right.
Brings in someone to interview, and they don't know the lineup of the radio station. What would he do in a situation?
Ooh, that's
like
a good question.
It would be over right away. It'd be over instantly,
wouldn't it?
You'd be leaving his office at 3:30 a.m. because you probably went in there at 3:15 a.m.
That's right.
Wow.
You would press the button,
would
open the door, and he'd say, "See yourself out."
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that was his reputation. I guess that's for reals.
anymore. Like, you go into an office and you got that impression that they just needed you more than you needed them. Yeah. But I don't think that's true.
No.
I've been wondering, do you think it's true that a lot of younger people are coming into interviews and bringing a parent with them? I've heard that, too.
Yeah, that was a story in Sue's News. That was disturbing.
Yeah.
I brought my mom. She's just going to sit here. Or dad. And they were saying, people, don't bring your parents. Don't bring anybody else to your interview. It just seems odd that we have to point that out. But apparently we do.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, the oldest person that showed up with a parent, like, I assume we're talking about high schoolers that don't drive, so maybe their parents drove them and came in with them.
I think it's worse than that.
I think it was.
It's,
I think,
recent college graduates.
Yes, that's how the story read. It was like recent college graduates are bringing their parents. Now, obviously, it wasn't 50% or anything, but a large enough number that people in business interviewing jobs were like, okay, you know what? We don't need to see your mom.
Well, like, what if your dad was like David Schwimmer from Friends, and he shows up with you? They're like, oh, the guy from Friends is here. Of course we're going to give the guy the job. Like, is there a chance that it's a networking opportunity? You're showing off the parent to impress?
I don't think so. I don't think, try giving me a scenario where it's impressive to have a parent with you. Even
they're
in
really
that situation.
Rich,
no.
And they slip 100.
No.
they bribe the recruiter.
Hey, listen, if it's you interviewing and you've got those stupid jeans on, they're going to run the other direction.
I wouldn't show up interview with jeans on. Now, if I was doing a video interview and they only saw me from like the pecs up, then of course I'm wearing the sweatpants jeans.
That's fine.
I'd have to work on my pecs.
Well, certainly. somebody on X has posted this question to the internet. People born before 2000, what trivial skill do you have that no one uses anymore? It went viral, of course. And here are some of the responses that I thought, oh, gosh, I hadn't thought of this. Number one, how to load a roll of film into a camera.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm.
Right? Also knowing how to make audio and film edits by physically cutting and splicing the tape.
Oh, yeah. with a grease pencil.
Remember the film, though? I mean, and remember when they finally got auto cameras and you try to hook those little, squares on the side of the film? They'd have to hook onto your cheap camera to roll it in there, and it took forever. Dad, can you get this to work? Number two, how to write in cursive, of course. Somebody joked, I could drive a stick shift while also writing in cursive. Number three, how to use a rotary phone. Four, how to be able to parallel park without a backup camera. Because the kids have that today.
I kind of lost all my ability to do anything.
With the backup camera?
No, now that I have the backup camera, I can't do anything without it.
How to refold a paper map. And this is my favorite of all of them. Using the word literally correctly.
I'll tell you what that I've lost, and you mentioned this, I can't spell anymore. The autocorrect on everything. If I open up a word processor, Sue, it's just all wiggly red lines everywhere. It is terrible. I've lost the ability to spell.
That really is unfortunate. But I thought those were pretty good. I mean, the whole list is really long. Using a rotary phone. Oh, my sister-in-law told me this the other day. They live in Houston, and when the electricity went out, they had to pull out a transistor radio. And my niece, who is 23, had no idea that there was an antenna in there because she's never seen antennas on things. Wow. You know, on your car, it's just like a shark fin. There's no thing where you'd have to pull up. She was freaking out. She said, what are you doing? And her mother's like, what are you doing?
I think Mark Reardon said he had to teach his daughter Alexa how to spin a dial on a radio to actually find a station.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That feels so good to spin that. And you just got to get the right. You just knew what the right thing was after a while.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
It is fun.
All right, Sue. I got to, I guess, work on my spelling again. I feel like that's a lost art anymore for anyone.
It is.
Just with autocorrect.
It is. I've got one random fact for you, and then I'm out. You ready?
Yeah.
Letters are uppercase and lowercase because that's where typesetters at printing presses would keep their letters. The smaller letters were in lowercase and it was easy to access. The upper ones were upper, and that's where that came from.
That's good.
It for Sue's News.
Thank you, Sue. We're going to talk to Newsbusters coming up after the break, and they're part of the Media Research Center. And what about the legacy media's coverage on the presidential race? How are they doing this time around compared to last presidential race? I guess we'll find out. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. If you want to find me online at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio, places like that. It's always good to be back and get to fill in for Mark or anyone here on 97.1 FM Talk. That's fantastic. Joining us now, a managing editor of Newsbusters, part of the Media Research Center. I think they do fantastic work at pointing out some of, to a lot of people, it's pretty egregious, blatant uses of biases. However, to them, it's not looked at that way. So it's good to look at just the straight numbers and put it in perspective that way. Curtis Hauck, thank you so much for coming on to 97.1.
Hey, good to be with you.
I do believe that, here's the thing that I try to give the benefit of doubt to people. Let's say the journalists or the people that report these things, that they want to get things right. However, there may be people higher than them that oversee, and then they decide what gets published, they decide what gets on the air, and then after the fact, you realize that it's just a compilation of one-sided news coverage. Now, the older I get, I realize that maybe I'm a little bit naive to think that this is not done purposely because it happens so often. So I wanted to talk about some of the different things you've seen at Newsbusters and the Media Research Center, because you actually analyze all the newscasts and you compile and realize that over and over and over again, it's purposely one-sided.
Yeah, I mean, I would give some people the benefit of the doubt. I wouldn't say it's a complete 100% slam dunk, but I think certainly if you listen to enough stories, you can hear the tone, the inflection, those kinds of things actually do matter. You do hear in some folks, particularly on ABC News, you know, they've been in the news, obviously, for the debate and the moderators. You can definitely hear in their network and certain reporters on MSNBC a certain dismissive tone and arrogance. You also, I think, pay attention to people's live shots when there are live reports as opposed to voiceovers. I think that's a easy tell as well. When someone is kind of just freewheeling and making these claims versus somebody who's in a more contained environment with a voiceover where, yes, they might be getting some pressure or they might have had meetings, they might not have had time to pull together a script, so one of their producers did it, that kind of thing.
Can I ask you, when you do this research and you look at the amount of like press coverage, negative versus positive, for each candidate, and you realize that one candidate gets a wide majority of it positive and one candidate a wide majority of it being negative. So one of the more recent articles, it says, despite shooting, ABC, CBS, and NBC blast Trump with 95% bad press. I've always looked at it and said, I think locally speaking, when you look at local affiliates, local markets, they do a better job at trying to be more honest. This is mostly what you see on the national side. Would you agree with that?
I think generally so, for a couple of reasons. One, the money. You know, the money, they make a lot of money, to be honest. If these networks, these network reporters, locally, yes, once you get up to like New York City's local news, Philadelphia, that kind of thing. And also because of the, you know, it's not really lucrative elsewhere, you've got to be in it for the purpose. And I think that's why if you look at polls in terms of trust in the media, local news is still way higher than the national media as well. So I would definitely agree with that. And when we do these studies, it's actually really important for to hear and explain the fact that we strip out all evaluated statements. So, like, when we're looking at Trump coverage, let's say a soundbite of Lindsey Graham or Tom Cotton defending President Trump. Those soundbites we don't include. Or if there's a soundbite of Elizabeth Warren or Maryland Governor Wes Moore, just for example, defending Kamala Harris. Those soundbites we remove. So we only are looking at what the journalists or pollsters are saying about the candidates, and we judge that positive or negative. And that's why we were able to find the 100% positive coverage going into the debate on ABC's World News Tonight, and we were able to find 95% negative coverage in just the first two nights of ABC, CBS, and NBC after this second Trump assassination attempt.
Why do you think they do that? Is it good for business? What do you think the motive is? Is it just the people that are writing up the news have their own biases that go through? Do you think they just have a hatred for the man? Why do you think that is? The number is just so stark difference between the two.
Yeah, I think actually it's both. You know, I think some people, obviously, you can tell certain people that it is personal for them. They also see it as transactional. I think that's why you saw positive coverage of Joe Biden until the debate. It's not that they necessarily liked the guy or agreed with him politically. I think they just were willing to see it as transactional. I praise him because I have to puff him up over Donald Trump, whereas now with Kamala Harris, I think they might actually be true believers. Whereas Barack Obama, I think it was the same way. They genuinely believed and supported him versus seeing this as I got to pull him up to tear him down. And I think also, too, it just comes down to the worldview that these people, they see the world in a certain way that they genuinely think complaining about Trump is a top story.
You know, let's look at, I don't know if you do PBS all that often, but I mean, we can just assume which way that coverage is going to go in some ways.
Oh, we definitely do. We definitely look at them as well. I mean, for example, on Sunday, there was 30 seconds on the second Trump assassination attempt on their Sunday half hour news show, and there were 83 seconds on Springfield.
Oh, wow. How about that? So let's also look at, there's these alternate different like News Nation comes to mind. You have Chris Cuomo and Abrams starting this new network, and they say, okay, we're going to be right down the middle as best as we can. And we even had that one apology happen from Chris Cuomo, which was really kind of like, whoa, where did this come from? You have someone that's anchoring on this network and apologizing to Donald Trump for their shortcomings in the past. So let's say that sort of audience isn't really gaining, right? You still have the cable networks like the MSNBC, CNN, Foxes. They have their own core audiences. Do you think there is an audience for something more down the middle that tries to give fair coverage, or do you think that people are just attracted to their own sides?
I think it's shown that people definitely are attracted to their own side. I'm someone that, yes, obviously we make no bones about where we're coming from. Newsbusters talking about exposing and identifying, correcting liberal media bias, but I definitely think there is a home for it. And I really do hope, you know, News Nation succeeds because yes, those are like their primetime hosts. But if you watch some of their people during the daytime and some of their correspondents, you know, I really genuinely like them. I think they do really good work and they really do try to be right down the middle. And I really do hope they succeed. I think it's all about all of the above. I've always been that way, even from when I was a teenager reading the newspaper. Or reading Newsbusters since I was probably 12 or 13 years old. But I've always wanted this kind of balance as well, that to see what other people are talking about as well, because while some people, it may make them mad, I view it as a challenge to kind of dissect and tear apart, you know, some of the crazy things that you see.
You know, and it's so interesting to hear you say that. Curtis Houck is joining us in part of a Newsbusters, a managing editor there. That's part of the Media Research Center. Can I play a clip for you and get your reaction? I'm sure you've heard this clip. So Tyler and Fred just pulled this one. Can you do clip number 38? And this is the media basically blaming Trump for the second shooting.
actual violence we're seeing comes much more disproportionately from MAGA themselves.
The former president certainly could do a lot to make himself safer, to make it less likely that people would become radicalized to this point. After the first assassination attempt, Donald Trump said he was going to adopt a different tone.
If Donald Trump wants people, wants Kamala Harris and others to say, to stop saying that he is a threat to democracy, then he should stop threatening democracy.
Okay, so this is the point I wanted to make for you and kind of get your thoughts on this. Sometimes when I hear the anchors after an event like in another assassination attempt on a former president, they go back and they say, well, there's that famous meme where it's Principal Skinner from The Simpsons and he's saying, am I wrong? No, it is the children who are wrong. You know, am I just that out of touch? So I feel like there's got to be a moment where some of the journalists think about what they just said that may have contributed to the atmosphere of what's going on and people resenting and hating to the point they want to kill and assassinate a former president. And then afterwards, instead of backing down, they say, you know, we need to find a spin that justifies our biases to make it his fault again. That to me is so disingenuous and it scares me. And it's actually kind of sad you think about it. But in your research, you probably see that stuff every single day.
Oh, yeah, they genuinely believe it. You know, they say that, and this really grinds my gears. I dealt with these people in college where it was like 10 years ago, more than that, actually, where it was like, no, we hate both parties. Oh, we're so divided. But my goodness, those Republicans suck. Like, you're just kind of undermining yourself here. You know, we've seen this with CNN. You know, Tim Acosta was like, we have to be able to disagree with each other. Patriotism to me is about bringing people together who disagree on things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this, you are like the last person that should be talking about this. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Nobody wants Donald Trump to be hurt. And I don't really, I mean, I did have some hope because I think after 2016, you did see Tom Brokaw, a few others kind of, New York Times, Dean Baquet was running this at the time, said, yeah, we missed the boat on this. We genuinely did. But we saw how quickly that went away.
Yeah.
We saw how quickly that went away. So I'm kind of cynical about it for a lot of people. And it's disgusting. It's pathetic. It's not how we should treat each other. Yes, I understand we're in a war. So, you know, being all happy-go-lucky and compromised and all that, you know, mushy-gushy stuff, no labels and those kind of things. I sometimes think in some serious issues you shouldn't compromise on your beliefs. But at the same time, about seeing each other as human beings, I think that's the issue with the left. Poll after poll shows that conservatives are more comfortable with having friends or dating people who are on the opposite side of the aisle, because liberals believe people who oppose them are an existential threat and have believed that for a long time.
Yeah. All right. So if people wanted to see your research, some of the things you're writing about online, where can they go?
Newsbusters.org, newsbusters.org, at Newsbusters on X, at the MRC on X, and I am at Curtis Houck, H-O-U-C-K.
That's good stuff. All right. I keep looking at this. I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever turn back away, but I can tell you that I think more people are becoming literate to the idea that they've been lied to.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder to lie to them. However, they're still trying to bang the same drum over and over again. I'm hoping, thanks to some of your work and things where you can just see it plainly clear as day, the data, the raw data, that it does help some people understand that this is just a big manipulation game and don't fall for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Awareness. That's all we care about. That's really number one thing that we care about. And also transcripts. Along with our data, we provide transcripts for a lot of the TV segments we're talking about. And I can tell you personally and privately that people on the other side, people we're critiquing that I've talked to over the years, appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to know. And I got to thank you for your time here today. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
That is Curtis Houck, managing editor of Newsbusters, part of the Media Research Center, the MRC. You can find them online. They do fantastic work, consistently fantastic work. And when I'm talking about just the data, go and look at it and say, wow, the raw data by itself is overwhelming that something is going on here. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. Alfredo Ortiz, CEO of the Job Creators Network, is going to be joining us after the break. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in, and I'm happy to be with you here today in for Mark Reardon. You can find me online. Joining us now is the CEO of the Job Creators Network, Alfredo Ortiz. Thank you for coming on this day, this afternoon.
Hey, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me.
I didn't know if I should say evening or afternoon, and I kind of stumbled in between somewhere.
That's right.
So the Federal Reserve came out, lowered interest rates by half a point. Now, I guess the first question, before I do want to get your take on this, but I've talked to other experts on the economy, dropping it a half a point. We still have massive national debt. Are you worried that we're still headed towards a recession and what that could do to the labor market?
Yeah, well, actually, I am. That's a great question. And I actually think Chairman Powell also is concerned. And I think that's why he surprised the entire market by dropping at 50 basis points instead of the 25. Because I really think that he is looking at the numbers and the data, just like we are, actually. And I think it's an admission that the Biden-Harris economy is actually failing and urgently needs support. And it's clear when you look at the contracting labor market, record high credit card debt, and record low savings rates.
Yeah, and I think, too, and part of when you talk about cooling inflation, you knew there was going to be some issues when it comes to jobs. But we've had other experts come on, and I had Merrick Masters on before, and I was talking to him. He's part of a labor study professor, Wayne State in Detroit. And part of this is we have to also take into account an influx of a lot of people, millions and millions of people, yep, that are coming into this country at the same time, which has also made it difficult for some people to find jobs. And I think it's only natural that we find with some of these interest rate cuts that we're going to get a higher rate of unemployment in the future. So that has to concern you too.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And, you know, in our polling for the past, I would say, 4 months, we saw that small businesses were really pretty much halting their labor hiring, or at least definitely cutting back on their labor hours. And we started calling kind of the beginning of a recession back then, because you could see the softening of the consumer overall in the economy. And, you know, people were like saying, oh, well, look, the consumer spending is still up. They're still doing great. And I kept saying, yes, guys, the consumer spending is up, but they're paying more and getting less, right? Because the actual prices of everything are sky high, even though the rate of inflation is slowing down. The prices are still high of everything since the Biden administration took over. I mean, look at gas, for example. It's about 40% up higher. Rents are up 40% higher. Electricity is almost 50% higher. I mean, every single thing, looking at car insurance rates, are almost 3x what they used to be. I mean, things are just out of control, and the average American family just can't make ends meet. I mean, that's why you have 8.5 million people in this country that are now working, and this is a record number, by the way, two jobs.
Mm. On top of that, massive credit card debt. The other have other types of debt. Their savings are much lower than where it was. I forgot what the number was, but the amount of people that actually have savings now is like low single digits. It's ridiculously low.
Yeah, it's 4%, and normally it's about 9%. So we're at record low numbers right now.
And on top of that, our debt is incredibly high. It's hard for us to even make payments based on the interest alone. And we're talking about more government programs going out the door, things that we absolutely cannot afford. We got some massive issues. As part of the Job Creators Network, what are some things, maybe people listening here, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, what are some things that you think they could do so perhaps if the worst does happen to them, they might be a little bit better prepared?
Well, I would like to say that the first thing they can do is go out and vote, if they have the ability to vote early, or as the Democrats say, you know, vote early and vote often.
They're not purging the voter rolls, so yeah, you might get a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I mean, only conservative Congress and president can really, I think, fix this at this point, because to ask the Democrats to cut back on spending is like asking a fish to swim out of water, right? I mean, it's just not in their nature. And they're just not going to be able to do that. So we got to bring our house back in order. We got to cut back spending. We got to grow our economy. And it's not through, you can't grow an economy by increasing taxes. That's just not the way to do it. We saw this under the Trump administration. He cut taxes back. He cut back red tape. And guess what happened? The economy grew. Small businesses grew, right? And your revenues grow. That's how you grow an economy. I mean, my goodness, if you go even back to the days of President Kennedy, even he would say that the best way to grow an economy is to cut taxes.
Yeah. Not going to do a Kennedy impersonation. I was very tempted to do one there. But I guess with all the different AI out there.
That's a hard one. Listen from Boston.
We'll have to settle for RFK Jr.'s take on this. So if people wanted to find you guys online, where can we go?
Yeah, jobcreatorsnetwork.com, jobcreatorsnetwork.com, or even easier, joinjcn.com if people like what they hear already. I'd love to get our what we call freedom fighters to join up, because we need an army of freedom fighters out there to fight the ridiculous stuff that's going on in D.C.
So just, we only have like a minute here, but let's say there is a Harris administration that follows a Biden administration, worst case scenario. How worried are you?
Well, I'm trying to find where else to live, I guess, because this country is going to fall apart. So I just can't even imagine that. So I just got to keep fighting and make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You want to be able to, I guess, try to set the steering wheel in the right direction if you still have that compass left. I think a lot of people do. And, you know, part of what we run into in some ways is that people know deep down inside things are bad, but they just won't admit it because they hate Donald Trump so much. They got to realize right. That, listen, you can hate the mean tweets. I'll just go back, and I know it's a common phrase, but hey, hate the mean tweets, but man, like what they did to the economy, it's going to be so much better in comparison.
Right.
Just know that it's going to be better at your front door. And you know what? You can turn off the TV. You can turn off the radio in your own home if you hate them. Just know you're not going to go bankrupt with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Alfredo Ortiz, thank you so much for joining us. Well, I really appreciate it.
Really big news today. Remember, Sean O'Brien from Teamsters did not endorse Kamala Harris. That says a lot of stuff.
That's a pretty big deal. You know, the local chapters, they're kind of going on their own in some ways, but still, I think that's a pretty big deal when a big union like the Teamsters will not align themselves with that political party, the Democrats. Thank you so much. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Go look up Alfredo Ortiz, CEO of the Job Creators Network. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.